Good morning. So glad to see everyone here this morning and glad that we are an active living church where our candlelight is burning very strong in so many different ways. I want to say thank you to those who helped in with the memorial and the celebration of Curtis Shipp's life this last weekend and with the meal that was prepared and those that served in that way. And great to see the church being the church in times of sorrow and times of joy and celebration. And I want to announce again next week that our marriage class will be starting, and many of you have signed up for that class, and glad that you've done that. You can still come to the class even if you haven't signed up, but those that have signed up, come up forward. I won't make you come up right now. The seniors are getting ready to come up here in a minute. But I have a couple of materials that you've purchased for the class, so you can get started on looking at that material. So come up. If you signed up for that class, come and grab that after services before you go get cake. Yes, there is cake for our seniors and everyone to stick around afterward to help celebrate their graduation and our blessing over them. What we're going to do at this time is recognize we have four seniors from our church family here, three of them that are here this morning. And so as I'll announce each senior's name and read a short bio, and there'll be some slides shown of their growing years. And I'd like to invite them to come up, and if your parents are here, parents come up too. I have something for both the seniors and the parents. And then so at this time, I'd like to ask the elders, first of all, to come up here and to join with us. So Mike and Tim and Tracy come up and ready to receive these seniors and stand with them as we give them our blessings. So our first senior we have is Melanie Cavanaugh. Parents Linda and John Roos and Father John Cavanaugh. Melanie, come on up, Melanie and Linda. All right. Oh, she was holding the baby. She was doing another church thing. Yeah, go ahead and start showing the pictures. Her favorite place to visit, just stand here for a minute. Her favorite place to visit is the beach, and she's been involved with basketball, and her team won state championship last year. Also volleyball, golf, Coos Watershed, wind ensemble, jazz band, marching and pet band, low brass section leader, Knowledge Bowl and National Honor Society, recently has competed with band solo, which she placed 8th and ensemble state. She was chosen by Marshfield faculty as the April Girl of the Month, and she plans on attending Lynn Benton Community College and OHSU majoring in forestry. So give her a round of applause. This is OSU, no H in there, OSU. I'm just reading what they wrote, and this is for you. Yep, you can stand over here. Next, we have Maine Freeman. Maine is the son of Mace and Tina Freeman, grandson to Joe and Marilyn Maxwell and Gary Mueller. Maine plans on attending Umpqua Community College in Roseburg and play baseball for their new program they're starting up. Maine has an interest in construction management, and when not playing baseball, Maine enjoys riding in the sand dunes, doing outdoor activities with friends. And during his 4 years in high school, he played on the varsity team, earning several All-State All-Team awards for pitching. Next, we have Emily Cruz, daughter of Kevin and Amy Cruz. She is graduating from Marshfield High School as valedictorian. Emily has been involved in many extracurricular activities during her time at Marshfield. She has been a member of the National Honor Society and has held many leadership positions, including head drum major for Marshfield Band of Pirates, vice president of Science National Honor Society, and vice president of Sumner Little Beefers 4-H Club. Did I say that right? All right. I'm just reading what's written here. Emily earned varsity letters for cross country and the girls' basketball team. She was also a member of the 4A state championship basketball team in 2018. Emily placed second in the state of Oregon at the 2019 OSAA Solo State Championships for her alto saxophone solo. In addition to her music and athletic involvement, as she is the first student to graduate from Marshfield with her private pilot's license. After graduation, Emily will attend Oklahoma State University. She plans to major in aerospace administration and operations, minor in saxophone performance, and obtain her flight ratings. Her dream career is to become professional airline pilot for FedEx or UPS. This is for you. Oh, we get that. That was weird. That was weird. And Rayana Mueller, a daughter of Tracy and Trina Mueller, also a granddaughter of Joe and Marilyn Maxwell, and also Gary Mueller. Rayana plans to take a couple years off after graduation, not quite sure of what her career path will be. She will be joining the workforce after graduation, and she would like to travel, seeing many different parts of the country, trying out different tracks on her dirt bike. So that's for you guys. I've asked Tim Slater to lead a prayer of blessing over our seniors and our parents. Amen. All right.
Can I recognize one more senior out there, Sierra Ward?
Oh.
She's a friend of
the group. Oh. She's here right now. Okay. Well, we had one more. one more senior back here, Sierra Ward, also at Marshfield, graduates too. She's a friend of Emily who came today, so congratulations to you as well. Thank you. Well, be sure to stick around a little bit afterward. We have a big full sheet cake, half Marshfield, half North Bend, so you can pick your side, or you can just mix it all up and blend it all together. It could be the Bay Area cake, or you can stick to your sides as well. So be sure to stick around. And it's just a blessing to be able to stand with these students and with these families as they make this transition, and as we transition with them and go with them and give them our blessing. You know, we have these times in our lives, and it seems like, I don't know, I've graduated a couple times, and it seems like life is always in transition. It's always this time of discovery and of seeking, of trying to search out some of those big questions of who am I and what is my identity? I'm sure as seniors you've been asked that. So what are you going to do? What are you going to become? And let me ask some of you, what are you going to do? What are you going to become? You know, that's a big question of seeking that identity. And we start plotting ourselves off in different directions, whether it's going to college to find that answer or go to work and find that answer. And I want to encourage you to seek the Lord in that. The Lord has a direction. And to seek what Lord has in store for you as far as the gifts and the passions that you have. And we have, you know, big questions to our faith that happen in times of transition, whether it's graduation or any big moments in our lives, whether it's a tragedy that happens or a new milestone in our lives where we consider our Lord and our faith. And when we come up with different challenges, I like to, as this time of life for you seniors, you know, as you go off and discovering who God is and who God is to you in response to the other voices and things that you will experience in your life, to take the initiative and pursue that faith in God. And also, you know, with what you're going to do with your life. How am I going to spend my time? How am I going to spend my money? Who am I going to spend my life with? And to consider the Lord in that discussion. This morning, I want to speak to the parents as well, to the students, and to all of us, as we are all to be encouraged to be continual students of God's Word. I don't know, but how about you, church? How many of you feel like you're grown up? And we always tell everyone to grow up, right? Grow up, become an adult, get out on your own. And I know there's good purpose in all that, but we don't have to get too far away. We don't have to be too grown up. I like when the Lord says, let them be like little children. Let the little children come unto me. But even as children of Christ and of God, we can grow up and we can have a firm foundation. We can have some stability, and that stability comes in the Lord. I don't know about you seniors. Maybe you've already been getting some gifts, and those are nice. I don't know, maybe your parents, I don't know if you have some special gifts coming, or is there some grandparents that have some special gifts coming your way, and many of you have gotten some scholarship gifts, and you're excited to have those gifts. I know the greatest gift I got when I graduated was a new car. It wasn't a new car, it was a new car to me, and that was a great gift. But I want to encourage you parents with the greatest gift that you can give your graduate. And I want to encourage every one of you, if you haven't given this gift to your children, you still can. This greatest gift to give your children is your blessing. Give them your blessing. I gave the parents a sheet as well. Something I got for them was this encouraging direction of, how do I give my student my blessing? To tell them what you see in them. Tell them what you hope in them. Tell them what you trust in them, what you see for them to do, and to write a prayer of blessing over them, and then to tell them what you promise to continue to do for them and be available for them in their life. And that'll be the greatest gift you can give. And we see this throughout Scripture of fathers and blessing their children. And, you know, fathers and mothers can both bless their children. And that's a gift, an immeasurable gift, that any of us could give another person, especially our children, whether they're young or old, or your grandchildren, to give them your blessing, to say, what I see in you, what I see, what I trust in you, and what I hope in you, and what I promise to do. And also a part of that blessing, also, You know, that blessing launches out our kids. It launches them out with this confidence, this assurance. You know, there was a movie that came out called Failure to Launch, I think Matthew McConaughey movie. Some of the girls are like, yeah, I know that one, Matthew McConaughey. Failure to Launch, you know, and I think that failure to launch is because no one is launching them. No one is sending them, saying, I bless you, and I have confidence in you, I trust in you, and I hope in you to go. But part of this launching is to launch them, to send them with the blessing, with that confidence. They are, that they have what it takes, and you have a desire for them, and you have a hope in them. And also this tie back to you to say, I will be here. I will be here for you, and I will stay true, and I will stay strong, and I will be here for you if you want me. I'll also stay out of your business if you want me to. But I promise you. But part of that blessing also is a setting free, is perhaps some things that maybe need to be confessed, to release any burden from a child, anything that you may have thought maybe, you know, a regret or a letdown or something that's happened that you know you've done in the past, and maybe you've come out of that, to confess, to say, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want to say this, and the kids, I know that kids are like, oh, this is going to be awkward. Kids are going to be like, oh, no. We've already gone through that, and to say, no, let me make sure I can launch you, and I can set you free. To set you free from any burden, and then there might be things that you know of, but there might be some things too that maybe you don't know, and I would encourage you, as a blessing, to ask your graduate, hey, if there is anything that I've ever done, I want you to tell me. And if there's any letdown I've had, I want you to tell me. And that may happen this week. That may happen a month from now. That may happen a year from now. But to leave that open, and when they do, and you extend that, that's if you want to. But it'll be a great blessing to launch them and set them free. And if they come to you and say, Mom, Dad, it's hard for me to say this, and this may be hurtful, but this is what's happened. Or this is how I felt when you... And the only response you give is, I'm sorry. And it'll set them free. To launch them with your blessing and set them free. So give them the greatest blessing. Well, this morning, I also want to encourage you to take your faith, seniors, talking to you, but also everyone else. I don't know how many graduation ceremonies you've ever gone to. You hear those speeches. Are they just talking to the seniors? No, they're really talking to everybody. And so this morning, those seniors, take your faith seriously. Take courage and take your faith in Jesus and take the initiative in that. I want to encourage you with some words from 2 Timothy. I love the book of 2 Timothy because it was written by Paul to his friend and companion Timothy, who he had worked together in the faith. And sometimes you may look at it as this older man talking to a younger man. And at one point, Paul was a teacher to Timothy, but more as a friend and a co-worker at this stage. Timothy had been sent to this town in Ephesus to continue teaching the church and standing firm in his faith, but yet he was facing a lot of challenges. Paul, you know, blessed him and launched him into this work and left him there and empowered him and prayed for him and had great encouragement for him to go and do this work in Ephesus of making the gospel known in that place. But yet Timothy faced a lot of challenges of standing on his own two feet there. He faced the challenge of those who opposed him, who didn't agree with or believe in the Lord Jesus, and so they were denying him or rejecting him. Or Timothy lived in a culture where, you know, people were living all different ways but the ways of the Lord. So you can imagine if you're standing alone in this world where you're trying to live for Christ and everyone is living different directions, sometimes it's hard to stay firm in that position. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy to encourage him to stay firm in face of false teachings. You know, as young Christians in the faith, you know, you have a foundation in the Lord, but that faith is going to be tested. You're going to hear different things. You're going to experience different things. And you're going to have questions. And so to have strength and have a firm foundation in your faith, but not be afraid of that challenge that comes. And they will come. And as families, to stay strong with your student. When the questions come and the doubts come, is to not waver, but to receive those well. And as a church, as we continue to stay strong and stay faithful and embrace and engage in those conversations that come. And so I give you some words from 2 Timothy as he was in a challenging situation. And you may be in a challenging situation of this transition, of going out, having these hopes, these aspirations. But I want to encourage you in your faith as you go out. The first one is I want to encourage you to lean into the Holy Spirit. Lean into the Holy Spirit. If you are in Christ, you've received this immeasurable, most amazing gift of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. Paul writes, if you turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to read 3 and following. Paul writes, and you hear this love and this blessing he gives Timothy, but also these words of encouragement. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. You hear this blessing. He says, I know who you are. I have a hope in you, and I pray for you, and I know you have this faith. Don't be afraid, and don't be ashamed, and don't be worried. You have it. But I know you're in a difficult situation. And he goes on in verse 6. He says, for that reason of this faith that's in our Lord Jesus Christ, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. If you are in Christ, and if you're not in Christ, anybody who's hearing this word right now, if you're not in Christ, you can be in Christ and have this gift of the Holy Spirit that is a blessing, but it's a blessing only if we access it, if we lean into it. Paul is saying to Timothy, lean into the Holy Spirit. Fan it into flame. Don't just let it sit there. You know what you fan, a stoke of fire? You know, a coal that is still has some life in it? And Timothy may be thinking, I have no life. I have no faith. And he goes, no, it's in you, this prayer of blessing. That's why it's so important, parents, that you bless your children right now on this transition time to say, I know the Lord is in your life. And let's fan that gift of that Holy Spirit. Let's fan it into flame. Let's set it on fire. Use that Holy Spirit. Use it to your advantage. You know, I like what someone says that, you know, we can cheat. You're like, what? You can cheat this world by the gift of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to burn it out. It's not going to run out. It's God's presence with you. So lean into it. Use it. Access it. It made me think of that old TV show, the old game show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And they had the three lifelines, phone a friend, 50-50, and what was the other one? Ask the audience. And I don't know about you, but I always think, like, I don't want to use those. You got to save those. You don't want to use those. And if I do, don't you kind of feel like you're cheating? You're taking the easy road. But no. The Holy Spirit is a gift for you. Use it. Lean into it. Fan it into flame. Because it is a power that is above our power. Because at sometimes, like Timothy, you're going to feel defeated. You're going to feel like, I don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I believe in. But this gift, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity. If you're feeling that way, you're not leaning into the Spirit. Because if you're leaning into the Spirit is not a spirit of timidity, but of power. And it's a power beyond your power. When your power is not enough, lean into the Holy Spirit. It's God's power, the power that raised Christ from the dead. And if you lean into that power, what is possible? All things are possible. You know, so he says, for God did not give you a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love. Man, I don't know how I can be all things to all people. I don't know how I could, you know, give of myself for others. Well, by your own power, you can't. This is the power of Christ through the Holy Spirit to give you a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Oh, I screw up. You're going to screw up. You're not going to be able to do it right. But it's not by your power, and you're not cheating. You're actually missing out on the opportunity if you don't lean into the spirit of self-discipline. So, lean into the Holy Spirit. And you're like, that sounds kind of weird. How do I do that? Talk to Jesus. Talk to Him about everything. About what you're going to do, what you hope to do, what you're not sure you're going to do. Talk about what you believe or what you don't believe. Talk about who you should spend time with and who you shouldn't spend time with. How I should spend my money, how I should spend my life. All those things, all those questions that are coming to you, take it to the Lord. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on in verse 8, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time." So he says, fan to flame this spirit, lean into that spirit, and do not be ashamed. Do not be ashamed to stand for me. Even if no one else will go your direction, you stand strong. But when you stand there unashamed and all the world is coming at you and going different directions, it's going to hurt. You're going to suffer. You're going to go without. You're going to take some hits. People are not going to agree with you. Paul's telling this to Timothy, and I'm telling it to you. Lean into the Spirit. Don't be ashamed. And don't be afraid to suffer. Because your hope is in the resurrection. If you are in Christ, then you've already died to yourself. And you are already on the path of living forever with Him. No matter what man or woman may do to you. Paul says, my gospel, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, remember Christ Jesus, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. So lean into the Holy Spirit. Second, lean into God's Word. That's why we give a Bible. That's why we give a Bible. And you may have a Bible that you use and you love. We give you a Bible as this new stage to say, no matter what kind of Bible student you are, however you're involved, but lean into God's Word. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but who correctly handles the word of truth. This word is truth. This word is solid. This word is firm in a crazy, chaotic world. But you have to plant your life into it. You have to plant your feet into it. You have to plant your time into it. Just as it takes effort to lean into the Holy Spirit, it takes a lot of effort to lean into God's Word. When people who have left the faith, one of the first things they said they stopped doing was stop reading their Bibles. Church, I'm talking to you. Read your Bibles. Lean into God's Word. And it says, do your best to present yourself. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker. It takes work. This is work. This is work. And how do you work? How do you work it? First, you got to read it. You know, I say, go read this. Ooh, that hurts. That's an assignment. That's why you know it's work. It's not comfortable. It's not natural to seek God. To read it. And you don't even have to read all of it at once. I encourage you to read all of it at some point. How many of you ever tried to read the Bible in a year? Some of you? It's a lot of work. How you feel? Maybe some of you are like, no, I love it. You know? But it doesn't have to be that way. But read it. Slow down and meditate on it. You don't have to read this all in a race. You know, I've tried to do those reading plans where I read the whole thing in a year, and I'm just trying to keep up. I'm just reading words and checking boxes and checking boxes. And I get through the year, and I go, I did it! So what do you know? I don't know. But I read it. But it takes work to read it, not just read it, but to slow down and to meditate on it. And what does it mean to meditate on it? No, not meditate over it. Meditate on it. It means to chew it. You ever had a fine course meal? And you're like, all right, let's go to this fine course, this fine restaurant, and it costs $100 to eat there. And I'm expecting a big platter of food for $100, but no, it's these little tiny little pieces. Because they're supposed to be the best bites available. Now, you could rush right through that and eat it all up, and you just, oop. What'd you eat? I don't know. I couldn't taste it. It was so small. But it's meant to slow down, to chew it every bite, to just keep it in your mouth, to smell it and to savor it and to think about it and let the textures hit you and let the flavors hit you. And that's what working on God's Word is, handling God's Word is, reading it, but then meditating on it and chewing on it, on every word and every passage, and let it really soak in, to let it really get into your heart and into your life. And then after you've meditated on it, to then talk about it, to share about it, to be in discussion about God's Word with others, to tell others about what you've read, and maybe tell someone, hey, I read about this. What do you think about that? To get with others who are reading it, and to share it and discuss it, and then to live it out, to put it into practice, to maybe even if you have doubts and concerns about it, to put it to the test, to say, okay, that seems kind of odd or different or difficult or challenging, or that's not the way that I see the rest of the world functioning, but to put it to the test, to live it out, to live the ways that it's saying to live. So to become workers and lean into God's Word, to read it, to meditate on it, to share it, and to live it. I've given you an assignment. You're probably, what's this little book? I got the Bible now. What's this paper? It kind of looks like work. Gave you a practice to start, and I'll be honest, like this practice that I'm sharing with you is something that I didn't discover till just a few years ago, and it's been an immeasurable blessing to my life. You know, you always hear your whole life, read the Bible. You know, you should read the Bible in a whole year, so I did that, and that was a lot of work, and just kind of rushed through it. I always feel a lot of pressure and a lot of guilt about how much I'm reading or how much I'm not reading. But I found this discipline of actually slowing down and reading and meditating and chewing on and discussing and sharing God's Word became a measurable blessing. I've given you a few verses of Ephesians from now till Labor Day. I don't know when your college is starting or when you're starting to work. You may be going to work tomorrow. You may be starting summer school. But it'll be a measurable gift. This is why Ephesians? Well, Ephesians is a great book about God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and His purpose for the church, the purpose of your life, about how it can be a blessing to you and through you as you live out the gospel in your everyday life. You know, a premier theologian of our time, N.T. Wright, was speaking at Wheaton College, and he gave these college students this challenge. They're about ready to end their semester and had a summer break, and he actually challenged them to memorize this book of the Bible, to take one verse a day and to chew on it and memorize it, and then the next day to go back and reflect on that first verse, and then to memorize the second verse, and then to go back the third day and memorize the third verse, because younger people have the ability to memorize stuff a lot quicker. You're a lot more able to it. You could probably read it a couple times and you'll have it in your memory. Well, I'm not challenging you that far. And if you could do that, that would even be a greater blessing. Because once you memorize something, it's with you forever. It's with you forever. I can remember poems and stories that I've memorized back when I was in high school and college that I could still say to you today. Well, to put that message into your heart, but it's going to take work. and to start with this book of Ephesians. I gave you this journal where I encourage you to do, starting today, that first verse. Write that verse out. When you write something out, you have to really slow down. You have to really read it. You have to really think about it. To write those words down and then to meditate. What is this saying? And sometimes to understand what something is saying, you have to read the verses before it or after it. Or maybe you have to read the whole book. But each day to look at that verse and say, what is it saying? What is it saying to them? What is it saying to me? And then to write a prayer in that journal book based off of that verse. To go to work. To lean in to God's Word. And finally, to lean into others. To lean into others. Lean into the Holy Spirit. Lean into God's Word. And lean into others. For Timothy, he was being challenged by those who were opposing him, those who were quarreling, those who were fighting with him, those who were going all different directions, those who were teaching the false truths and leading people astray. What about those? What about this world that's going in a different direction? What must I do with them? Run away from them? Resist them? No. Lean into them. Lean into others. Others who are lost. Others who don't know. Others who need you, what you know about the Spirit and God's Word, to share with them. Because you have what it takes. If you are in Christ and you have faith in Him, you have what it takes. Because you have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of power and love and of self-discipline. And if you're working on God's Word every day, you have that in your heart and in your life and you live it out. And you're not afraid to stand alone, to be ashamed. You're not afraid to take on some suffering. And so 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, Paul writes, as he's in the middle, and he just said, people have been arguing and quarreling all around you. Verse 24, he says, and the Lord's servant must not quarrel. When the world is not going your way, or people are opposing you, don't quarrel back. Don't fight back, but lean into them. Instead, he said, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. He says, be kind. Listen to what others are saying or doing. Become a student of others. Try to understand where they are coming from and why they feel that way and why they think. Don't fight back. Don't quarrel with them, but lean into them. Sit with them. And then, as one who has been a student of God's Word, it says, then you're able to teach them. And as you're able to teach them, you only can teach them if they know that you care about them. I mean, you could say your opinion all day long, but if they don't know you care about them, they don't know you have a respect for them, are they ever going to hear it? Are they ever going to apply it? Think about in your own life, how does fighting and quarreling work out when you're debating an issue? It's when you both can sit down in kindness and say, well, tell me more about that, and you have a high respect and regard for the other person. Because you can't change anyone's mind. Only God and them can change them. But how are they going to change unless you're kind and you're sharing with them, you have a respect for them? It says then you must, once you've had that respect and you're not resenting, those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance. As you have this leading into others and sharing of what you believe, once they finally calm down and able to listen, your hope is that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth. Don't let the world dictate which way you go. Be the captain of your own ship. Don't let the world tell you where to go. Don't tell them how. You know, I'm an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, and Portland is kind of on my downside right now because they took them out of the playoffs. But be a trailblazer. Be a trailblazer. Don't be a child that's going to be tossed around by every wave and teaching out there, but be strong and firm in the faith. Lean into the Spirit. Lean into Jesus. Lean into His Word. Lean into others when things aren't going. Become a student. Take the posture of that humble student. And if you are able to be a student, then you're able to also be a teacher with the hope that God will lead to repentance and you can be one who leads someone to salvation if you're able to take that posture of leaning in to others. Take the journey. Take the journey of you continuing to pursue Christ and take that journey with others who are in opposition to Christ. You know, you hear something different, say, well, tell me about that. You experience something that doesn't go with the way you... Well, let me understand that. Take that journey with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, with God's Word, with the hope that God will grant repentance. It says, and they will come to their senses and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do His will. We may be the ones that get in a bad place and need to come to our senses. But we're only going to come to our senses when those who love us and care for us, parents, church, other believers, when we're out of our minds, out of our senses, have squandered everything in wild living, that we are sitting with, leaning into, not being kind, we are being kind, being respectful, that God will lead us to repentance and a knowledge of the truth. And it says, and escape the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do His will. To have that compassion for others who are trapped. But you know the one who has set you free. You know the one who's conquered sin and death. And so I encourage you to take that journey. Parents, take the journey with them. Promise to be alongside them, to be involved with them. You continue to lean into the Spirit. You continue to lean into God's Word. You continue to lean into others. Church, let's take this journey with them. Continue to lean into the Holy Spirit and God's Word and into others. Let's take the journey with them. And Paul, one of his final verses from 2 Timothy I want to read is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and following. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearance and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the Word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instructions. You have a great opportunity to grow in faith, great opportunity to change the world. You have a great opportunity to lead others to know Christ. But it's going to take work. It's going to take leaning into that Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit this morning, if you're not in Christ, if you've not been baptized, you can be baptized today. You can be baptized today. If you have some burdens and cares that, man, I have not been leaning into the Spirit. I've been leaning into every other direction, and it's got me in a bad trap. Then let God lead you to repentance. Let the body of Christ surround you and share with each other and confess that and lean back into that Spirit, the Spirit of power and love and self-discipline. He's the only one that can rescue you. He's the only one that can save you. He's the only one that can restore you. And let's lean into God's Word. Let's lean into others. So, seniors, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious. The Lord turn His face to you and give you peace. If you'd like to respond to the message of Christ this morning, come now as we stand and sing.